So I'm going to crave your indulgence that would close a little later than usual today. Though I'll try and make this fast. But no matter what we do, it's going to be longer than the other services. Because this is the only service where we share testimonies. And those testimonies have blessed me personally this morning. Have you been blessed? They are proofs that God's word works. And this word will work for you. If you would also listen, pay attention, believe the word, and run with it. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. Peter said that in Acts chapter 10. When God spoke to him and sent him to the house of Cornelius, who was an unbeliever, God visited the house of Cornelius with salvation. He broke protocol for a man who didn't know God. A man who prayed, yeah, and gave alms, but he wasn't born again. God sent salvation to his house. That was not the normal order. He sent an angel to Peter. He gave him a vision, first of all, and then sent an angel to Cornelius and said, your prayers and your alms have come up to me for a memorial, and visited his family with salvation. Talk about God jumping protocol for his children, for his beloved. That same God, Hebrews 13 verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed and is not planning to change. And so he will also jump protocol for you in the name of Jesus. And for your family in the name of Jesus. Two people said amen, Lord. Amen. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. I need to check whether my mic is working. Is my mic working? Oh, can you all hear me? So I said God will jump protocol for your family. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. I hope to wrap this up today by the help of God. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I started this series 5 Sundays ago. Dominion begins upstairs. Dominion. Dominion is what God gave us for this year as a theme, the word to run with. And I had a meeting with the lead pastor a few days ago, one-on-one, and I asked him, I said, sir, because God keeps expanding this subject in my spirit, and I believe in the spirit of other people. In fact, somebody sent a message to me and said, you know, the Redeemed Christian Church of God are having their youth convention this next week, or this week, and I think it's this week, and the theme is dominion. And if you look at churches now, it's like, what is happening? Dominion, dominion everywhere. Because this is what the Spirit of God is saying this season. There is a now word. You don't need a new word. What you need is a now word. Don't be looking for new doctrines all over the place. We already have enough doctrine in the Word of God. So what you need is the word for now. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is a new faith. Now faith. In John, I believe it's chapter 2, when Jesus went to the marriage in Cana of Galilee, and he was going to do the miracle, he told them to fill the water pots with water. He said, draw out now. Draw out when? Now. 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 So what you need is what God is saying currently. What is God ministering to my life? What is he ministering to my family? What is he ministering to my church? That is what you need to find out. Find out what God is doing and run with it. And this is what God is doing right now. Dominion begins here. The major hindrance between you and the fulfillment of God's promises in your life and everything that God really wants to do in your life is mental blockade. We give so much credit to the devil and what he's doing and how powerful he is in resisting us. But the truth of the matter is that the devil is a defeated foe. Jesus went to the cross and having spoiled principalities and powers, according to Colossians 2:15, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Satan remains a defeated foe. He is like a toothless bulldog. When you go to a place and you are harassed by a bulldog, you want to behave yourself and respect the animal, right? But if somebody gave you a hint that all the power of that bulldog is gone, the only thing he has is barking and trying to scare you. But if you can stand your ground, that guy will run away. Because the only thing he has to attack you everything is gone. Satan is like that. He will keep making noise. He will keep trying to box you into a corner. You're going to die. You're going to die. Sin. You're sick now. You're not going to recover. You're not going to be healed. No, we are not going to be healed. Can I have an amen? Did you hear me right? I said, no, we are not going to be healed. Can I have an amen? Amen. Don't worry, I'm not cursing. We were healed over 2,000 years ago. Isaiah looked into the future in Isaiah 53 and verse 5 and prophesied, surely he bore our infirmities, he took our pain and our sorrows, and we considered him stricken and smitten by God. Yet, summarize it. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah was looking into the future and prophesying because Jesus had not yet come. But glory be to God, in the New Testament, Jesus came and went to the cross and paid the price for our healing, for our restoration, for our deliverance, for our prosperity, for everything. And then when Peter was going to say the same thing that Isaiah said in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter said, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You are not going to. You were. Can I have an amen? Amen. And all you need to do is to walk in the understanding of that scripture. I'm healed. I am not going to be healed. I'm afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. It will never feature in my prayer point. Lord, make me afraid. Lord, I beg you. Please, Lord, with all the power with which you are called God, make my name afraid. No. God, like you are laughing now. God is laughing. Like he hears some prayer point and is laughing at us. That's why you need to pray more in the Holy Ghost. Because according to 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but directly to God. Men do not understand him, how be it in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. The major blockade, the major hindrance between you and the promises of God in your life is up here. Mental blockade. And as we come to church and we feast on the word of God and we pray, what we are trying to do many, many times by the help of the Holy Ghost is to pull down those skyscrapers that have been erected up here. Up in here, there are skyscrapers. 24-story building, Cuckoo House. 90-something story building, Dubai. The tallest building in the world. All of those things are here. Failure, defeat, you can't be great, you can't do it. Nobody has ever done it before in your family. Nobody has done it in your hometown. How do you think you're going to be the first to do it? How are you sure that you're really going to be blessed? You're going to live and die in one-room apartment. You will never be able to build a house. Forget about laying a foundation. All of those things. How can you make a first class? You can't. Is there any history of anybody being a professor in your lineage? All of those things are here. If there has been none, you're going to be the first. Three people said amen, Lord. Yeah. Have you heard of the man Roger Bannister? In the history of athletics, nobody had ever run a mile in 4 minutes. Because they said if anybody ever tried that, the lungs of that human being will hyperventilate. And the lungs will collapse and the person will die. You try to run a mile in 4 minutes? No, impossible. Impossible. Roger Bannister was the first man, and I think this was in 1954, to break that record. He ran at a record time, 3 minutes 59 seconds. He made it, in fact, 59.4. 3 minutes 59.4, and he made it. He was the first person. They said this had never happened before. A British man, I think this happened around the Oxford area. And because he was the first mover, anywhere there is a first mover, that first mover has demonstrated that this thing is possible. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? If there was anybody around you who has done what you are trying to do, or you go on the internet and you research that somebody has done this before, that means I can also do it. Can I have an amen? I went to the U.S. Embassy December 2013 for the first time in my life, having been rejected UK and Germany. So America was not the place to go. But God said, this is where I want you to go. And I sat there, number 34. Everybody, rejected, 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 rejected. The first person that was rejected was a man who was boasting when we were on the queue, 5 a.m. outside on the queue. Very tall man, very big, and his voice, baritone. He brought a lot of girls to the embassy. I think he wanted to travel as a group. And he was talking to them. He said, look, don't be afraid. When you get inside now, me, the way I talk to them, I don't respect them. Those white people, I don't respect them. I talk to them anyhow. They give my visa. He was number one. He didn't spend 2 minutes. The slim lady just said, well, politely, I'm sorry, you don't meet the requirements for the non-immigrant visa at this time. Maybe in the future, when your circumstances change, you may please apply. The man said, what? Security window two. As I sat on my seat, I said, oh, how are the mighty fallen? Pew, 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 pew. Then one guy that came in shorts, and he had beards like he was not born again. Thank God for all of you that have beards. The guy was just talking and he was just interacting with the same lady. Same lady everybody was running from. Boom, the lady approved his visa. I said, Lord, that's the first mover. Because somebody has done it, that means I'm going to have my visa here. In fact, if nobody has done it, I'll be the first mover. I got my visa. Amen. Roger Bannister. After Roger Bannister broke that record, 1,755 athletes have gone ahead to break the same record. In fact, the last one was in 1999. A man from, I think, Cameroon or so. His name is Hisham El Gurej. El, standing for God. He broke the record at 3 minutes 40-something seconds. So, David was the first man, the first mover to bring down a giant in the Bible. 1 Samuel 17. But David was not the only one who brought down giants in the Bible. Because David did it first, other people called the mighty men of David brought down other people like Goliath. Can I have an amen? As a matter of fact, Goliath had four other brothers, wicked like himself. Oh, one of the mighty men, one day I'm going to preach on the mighty men of David, but that's not my focus today. One of them, one of the mighty men of David, went to kill a man who had 6 fingers on both hands and on both legs. Have you ever seen a monster like that before? A giant. He left him after killing him. He went to a pit, and there was a lion in a pit in the snow. In winter time. In winter, you don't have much grip. In fact, if you go abroad in winter, if you stay outside for 5 minutes, your phone will ring and you might not be able to pick your call. You don't know what I'm talking about because you are used to Harmattan. This is not Harmattan. This is Harmattan times 20 or times 50. Your hands can be so frozen, you can't even press anything. A man went in the snow and engaged a lion. The lion was sleeping in the pit. And he went there to disturb the lion. What kind of man is that? And he killed the lion. After that, he went and killed 2 other lion-like men of Moab. Men that were like lions. Fierce. Why was he able to do that? Why were they able to do those exploits? Because David did it first. David showed to them, demonstrated to them that it is possible to bring down giants. Whatever says impossible to you stays here, here, here. Can you start a business in 1 year and have a turnover of in millions of naira? Is that even possible? Is it possible to go to university with all the stress and everything that you go through and still make a first class? In this house, we've had year after year, different departments, different faculties. We've had graduates from different universities who made the first class. Those are first movers. Those are testimonies that it is possible to get it done. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Impossibility is here. Dominion is here. Everything in life starts with a thought. Whether it's going to be success or defeat, success or failure, victory or defeat, it starts as a thought up here. For as he thinketh, our main scripture we've been dealing with for 5 Sundays, Proverbs 23 and verse 7, just the A part of it. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't be greater than your thought life. That's why whatever helps you to think higher, whoever helps you. One of the testifiers was sharing about community. You need to have a community. A community of believers. This church is supposed to be your community where you have people that challenge you. People that spur you on to righteousness. People that ask you, when last did you read your Bible? When last did you hear from God? Not when last did you hear from pastor. When last did you hear from the Holy Spirit? What was the last thing he said to you in your private time? In your private time. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. That's why I am very, very choosy in my circle of friends. I don't flock with just anybody. I don't flock with people that will not inspire me. Some of you are the local champion in your circle of friends. You are the only one. No, you need to have a circle of friends that will challenge you, move you, spur you on to righteousness. He that walketh with the wise, he may not be a wise person, but because he's walking with the wise, their wisdom will rub off on him and he will become wise. That's the word of God. That's not Pastor Fred. And he said in the B part of it, but a companion of fools, even though may be a wise person, but because he has surrounded himself with fools, the Bible says shall be destroyed. Why? Because foolish people, their foolishness will destroy them. They will give you foolish ideas. Everybody's doing it now. You can get pregnant. What's the problem? We know what to do. Go and do D and C. Now, you have surrounded yourself. There are ladies who believe that they can't achieve certain heights in life without sleeping around. So they have to sleep around to get there. That's the way they think. That's their mindset. And that's what they tell other people who are with them. So if you flock with them, that's what they will tell you. They will sell it to you as an idea. Today we have in church, we have in the body of Christ, people who are excelling in their careers without compromise. You should watch those people. The Bible encourages us in the New Testament to follow their faith. Follow their faith. Follow them as examples. Don't say, I'm not following anybody. I'm on my own. I don't believe in following anybody. Well, you will not amount to much. That's the truth. That thing you are trusting God for, God has put the grace in some people. They are the first movers. Follow the example. Follow the example. A companion of wise people shall become wise. A companion of fools shall be foolish. When God called Abraham in Genesis 12, God didn't call Lot. Lot followed Abraham. Lot was wise. He followed Abraham. By Genesis 13 verse 5, God had blessed Abraham and Lot also that went with him. Genesis 13 verse 5, and Lot also which went with Abraham had flocks and herds and tents. Where did he get it from? The blessing on Abraham's life. Abraham had a covenant with God. Who you follow determines what follows you. And I mean it in every sense of it, every sense of the word, even on social media. Who you follow determines what follows you. If you follow someone online who is always pushing out sexual content, women's body parts, sex toys, that's what they advertise. Shamelessly, that's what they do every time. And those are the kind of people you follow. You know, those will be the promptings that will be coming up on your phone. They'll be coming up every time because those are the people you follow. Now, whoever you follow determines what follows you. You wonder why you're having nightmares. You wonder why demons are oppressing you in the night. Because you are inviting demons through the phone to your mind, to your house, to your room. Who you follow determines what follows you. Peter, James, and John stuck very closely to Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, they followed him as he was going to the house of Jairus to go and raise up, to go and heal his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter. And a woman came that had an issue of blood 12 years and touched the hem of his garment. Boom, she got healed. And boom, Jesus said, hey, what's up? And she shared her testimony. And then before they got to Jairus' house, they sent a message that the girl had died. But Jesus said, don't worry, Jairus, let's go. Don't fear, keep believing. They got to the house. You know what Jesus did? He saw all the tumulters, all the fake wailers, professional mourners. And Jesus said, hey, why are you mourning like this? The girl is sleeping. They started laughing. You know what he did? He put them all out. Peter, James, and John were with him. They saw the pattern, the way he did it. They saw the modus operandi of Jesus. He knelt down, prayed, got the girl back to life. Fast forward to Acts of the Apostles. A woman by the name Tabitha, Dorcas, died. Then Peter was in Joppa. The women that were there sent for Peter. When Peter came, he put all of them out. They showed him the beautiful clothes that this woman had made for them before she died. He followed the pattern of his master. He said, all of you, please go out. I don't need any unbelief around me. He put them all out, knelt down, prayed, and brought the woman back to life. The same pattern, the same result. God, my goodness. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Who you follow determines what follows you. The company you keep determines what accompanies you. This is not motivational talk. This is biblical. It's a biblical principle. If you're thinking too small, change your company. Company with people that will stretch your mind. Oh, I've got some accomplishment. Thank God for your accomplishments. You can do more. And I thank God for what he's doing in this house. I can tell you we have patterns. And from this last Sunday service like this, God always proves himself again and again and again. Some few years ago, Motunrayo Adeyemi was here, shared a testimony of how she secured admission at Oxford Brookes University after they had shut down the portal. And she came to me and said, Pastor, that's the school I want, and I want architecture. I said, that's what you want? Now, one thing that God has been doing for me is helping me to expand my thinking. Me too. It's not like I'm a very big thinker. But I've learned to submit my mind to the thoughts of God so that I can drop my hellish, smallish, little thoughts and take up his higher thoughts for my life. Because my life will wind up in the direction of my thoughts. As it thinks, so is he. So I am a reflection of my... In fact, what I'm wearing this morning is a reflection of my thoughts. This was what I thought this morning. And so I decided to wear this. Same with you. So I said, you know, we can get this done. She said, yeah, by the help of God. So we prayed. And then I said, go and send an email again. Tell them that you really want the school, you want the course, blah, blah, blah. Boom, God did it. Then she was here. She shared her testimony, how God did it. There was a girl in that corner where Mustafa, what's your name? Shalom. Sharon. Okay, where Sharon is seated? Exactly that spot. That girl was a youth copper from Bayelsa State. Had never been to Ibadan. She just came to Ibadan for the first time. Somehow, God led her here. She was trusting God to go to the UK to go and do her master's. She had discussed with her dad. Her dad said, I don't have money. Government is owing me money. You know, I've done this, I've done that, but government is owing me money in Bayelsa State. So she, as she heard the testimony of one person, she said, Lord, I connect. The same grace. Oh, God, you made this happen for that girl. You can make it happen for me. Boom. The month after, the government paid her father. She had gone ahead to process admission. And then money just came at the nick of time. She's in the University of Plymouth. In fact, she has finished her master's now. University of Plymouth in the UK. Same pattern. One young man came by the name John Enenche. He followed me from NYC camp. And he's saying where I'd gone to minister. And then he came to this church with some of his friends, coppers, officials of NCCF, and he shared his testimony of how God arranged a scholarship for him somewhere, I think in Poland. Another young man was in the house, a friend of the house. He was not living in Ibadan. He just came. His fiancée just shared a testimony this morning. And then he heard the testimony of that young man. I said, I've been looking for that same scholarship. It's a popular scholarship in Europe. I've been looking for it. God, if you made it happen for that guy, make it happen for me. Boom, that boy is in Poland as we speak. That's the lawyer that shared a testimony, who is traveling in a hurry now, is the fiancé. They were both in that service. This morning she came to share. I've been part of that process and all that. We've been talking about it, trusting God for acceleration. What has taken some people 3 weeks, 1 month, plus money to secure appointments. She got there same day as she was getting down from the Bolt ride. Because she doesn't speak very loud like me, so you didn't hear what she was saying. As she was getting down from the boat ride, the official of the embassy said, today we are not following any list. I want you people to form a straight line. She said, somebody on that queue said, no, what kind of rubbish is that? We've been here, we put down our name yesterday. Because they had paid money to get themselves a slot. So they wanted the official to follow the slot they had paid. They called it rubbish. But it was God moving. Did you hear what I said? Some things God will do in your life. People will say rubbish, but it is God in the working behind the scenes. And you will see a miracle in the name of Jesus. got down from the taxi, got into the announcement, and then I think she said number 12 on the queue. Number 12. Some people had been there for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, no result. She got there just at the nick of time because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And she got there, and same day, visa approved. The fact that you even make it to the embassy does not automatically guarantee they're going to give you your visa. You can be a scholarship student and they don't give you visa. I've seen that in some countries. But God ordered and ordained her steps and collapsed time in her favor. And then she told me this morning, she said, Pastor, I also was able to trust God and connect when Esther Oni was sharing her testimony last year. Esther Oni is a graduate of vet medicine, UI, one of my wonderful girls. She was the leader of our fellowship, Stone Campus Fellowship. And I mean, that girl served God so faithfully. She got married, got a visa, traveled in a hurry. God just supernaturally collapsed time in her favor. And hey, before you start judging her, I met the husband, right? Before they got married. Amen. Ministered the Holy Ghost, baptism to him, born again, but not filled with the Holy Ghost. Boom! Same time I ministered, he began to speak in tongues. They're doing well in the U.S. now. She said she was in that service, she connected. See patterns. Now, Mama Dot cannot even wait now for a blaze. And she has paid for uniform as an usher. So by the time we're having a blaze, October 10 to 13, she'll be joining us online. I see supernatural acceleration still working in this house. And for all of you young people, whatever you need, God will bring it to you speedily in the name of Jesus. But do you think, first of all, do you think it is possible? How are you thinking? Why did Jesus teach? Why was he a teacher? Those are the 3 points I've given you over the last 4 weeks. Number one, Jesus taught because he needed to get the kingdom mindset to the people. The people didn't have the kingdom mindset, so he taught the word of God. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus, Matthew 4:23, media, Matthew 4:23, and he went to their synagogues and he taught them the word of God and preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he was healing all manner of sicknesses and diseases. Jesus went about all Galilee. Number one, what was he doing? If you're not sleeping, what was he doing? Teaching. He was a rabbi. He was a teacher. Jesus was not just a miracle worker. He was a teacher. Why was he a teacher? To damage their ignorance. I thank God for the lecturers and professors we have with us this morning. Ma, why do you teach? You teach. Because people, these children, that will take me to my third point actually. So let me go to my third point and then I'll come back to you. Number one, Jesus wanted to get the kingdom mindset to them. Number two, he taught them because he knew that to enjoy God's best, you must take up God's thoughts. God's thoughts. Somebody say God's thoughts. Oh, 3 people said that. Come on. Lord, 5 people said that now. Do you know that God has thoughts? It will shock you that some people can tell you that because God is spirit, God does not think. That is not scriptural. God has thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11. KJV. For I know the... Come on, say it to me in the church. I know the thoughts that I... Does God think? Clear. It will take an expert to confuse you. The gospel is simple. God said, I think. Some people are advocating for God and they're saying God doesn't think. No. God said, I think. I know the thoughts. And what thoughts is God thinking towards you? Thoughts of what? Shalom. That word peace is the word Hebrew word shalom. It is not just tranquility. It is not just peace, like you don't have any trouble. It means nothing missing. Huh? You need money, it is not missing. You need wisdom, it is not missing. You need help, it is not missing. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. That's the meaning. You are well supplied. Somebody say, I'm well supplied. So when God is looking at you, he's thinking well supplied. He's thinking shalom. He's thinking nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. Your health must be whole. When God is looking at you and you are sick, God is not happy that you are sick, because God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace. Shalom. Somebody say shalom. Does God think? Psalm 139 verse 17. Psalm 139 verse 17. David the psalmist said, oh, how great, oh, how precious also are your, okay, if you're in church, how precious also are your thoughts unto me, oh God. God is thinking about me. Glory to God. How great is the sum of them? I say, God is thinking about you. Glory to God. If your neighbor is sleeping, tap them. Tell them God is thinking about you right now. What kind of thoughts do you think God might be thinking about you? Do you think that God is thinking how to judge you, how to deal with you, how to beat you up? Do you know God doesn't need to chase you before he can catch you? You know, when bad things happen to people, say, eh, hold on, God has caught him. God has caught her. No, God doesn't catch anybody. He doesn't need to run after anybody to catch them. When bad things happen, they're from the devil. Good things are from God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of heavenly light, with whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. Psalm 36 verse 9, for with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. For with you is the fountain of life, the fountain of life, 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 life is from God. Life, life, anything life, good from God. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. The thoughts of God towards you are precious, number one. Number two, they are innumerable. How great is the sum of them? If you take up one thought from God, one thought, and you think it, one thought from God, and you think it, it can last you a lifetime. One. How much more? Plenty. One thought, for example, being whole. God wants your life whole. God wants you perfect, fine, sound, healthy, blessed, highly favored. That's only one thought. Now imagine, the psalmist said, go back to Psalm 139 verse 17. David the psalmist said, look, how great, how precious one, then how great is the sum of them? In other words, I need to drop my thoughts every day and take up the thoughts of God every day and think the thoughts of God every day. And there are too many. If I can only take up one, two, three, four, five, I will live an enviable life. You will stop seeing yourself as people see you. You start seeing yourself as God sees you. They look at you and say you are inadequate. They look at you and say you are not qualified. They look at you and say you are not worthy. They look at you and say you are of a lower class. We can't be rolling with someone like you. But you look at the Bible and God says you are my jewel. God says you are precious to me. If I am precious to God, I don't care about you. I don't care who is against me. If God be for me, God says I'm precious to him. Listen, I carry myself as someone precious to God. Did you get what I said? You don't walk into an international office and your legs are wobbling. Oh Lord, I don't know if they will send me out now. Or you get to the embassy and you're not sure. No, you're a child of the Most High God. You are so precious to God. Let them know, yeah. Why are you so confident? Yeah, because I'm precious to God. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Your mind is full of me. So number two reason Jesus taught was to let the people know the importance of taking up the thoughts of God. Because to enjoy God's best, you need to take up his thoughts. You need to think how he thinks. God is not thinking sickness. So when he looks at you in sickness, he doesn't like it. His heart is bleeding that his people are dying and nobody is able to help them. He's paid the price. He needs people to open their eyes to see that they are no longer under the bondage of Satan. But many are still in bondage of Satan because of their mindset. Are you with me? It's like when you catch a grasshopper, put a grasshopper in a jar and close the jar, put a lid on top of it. The grasshopper, the first few minutes, will make attempts to fly out. It will hop and hop and hop and try to hop out. But if he keeps meeting a limitation, a limit, a covering, right? After a while, it will chill and stay at the bottom. It is so bad that by the time you remove the lid and you walk away,
30 minutes, and you come back, you will still find the grasshopper there. It has stopped attempting to hop out because it has tried a couple of times, but there was a limit. Many people are like that in their mindset. They've tried something a couple of times. They've written jam twice or three times. Ah, that's a taboo. I've written jam three times. Ah, I can't do it again. I tried that business. I opened the business. It didn't work. I opened another. It didn't work. I opened another. Oh, I'm not trying again. I'm not going to go again. No, that's the grasshopper mentality. Go again. Did you hear what I said? Child of God, go again. Did you hear what I said? I said, go again. Do it again. Because with the help of God, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Find that in verse 13. Yeah, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. I can do how many things? But really, can you do all things? It starts upstairs. If you sit down with this scripture only for this week, it's enough job. Sit down. I can do all things. Does that include my mathematics lecture that is so serious? Does that include chemistry 157, UI, 100 level? Does that include whatever it is that you have a problem with? Does that include that thing? Now, he said I can do a few things. Oh, three people answered me. He said I can do so many things. I can do almost all things. Almost all and all. Are they the same? Kai, how many things can you do? The way some of you are responding, self, it shows that, Pastor, just preach and let us go. All things care. Me that I'm from Labo, like Baba would say, I'm from Labo. It doesn't matter where you're from. I don't speak the English of my background. If you know where I'm from, they don't speak like this. You know. In fact, it took me many years, and I stand before God, I lie not, to know the difference between I will beat you and I go beat you. Because in my house, it was, I go wash you now. I go beat you. I had neighbors from Edo, from East, from Igbira, from everywhere. It was a potpourri. My house was a potpourri. All kinds of people. And all our parents were very fertile. Very poor and very fertile. My mother had maybe the least number of children. 5. Some families have 13. That one father, one mother, 13 children, some 7, 8, that's the norm. So, I go beat you was the language at home. But when I went to school, the teacher would say, if you make noise again, I will beat you. I said, what's the deep? I go. So, as the occasion served me, I spoke. I go beat you, I will beat you. I go beat you. It took me years to know the difference. You might not believe that now because I don't sound like where I'm coming from. But I made up my mind, even as a little boy. One of the blessings that my parents, my father especially, gave me was the blessing of exposure. Exposure is one of the things that help you to have a new mindset. Exposure, to expose you. What did my father expose me to? I had an uncle in UI. He was the head of Department of Physiology for many years in the Faculty of Basic Medical Sciences, Professor R.A. Elegbe, same surname. And my father would let me go to his house over the weekend, Saturday morning. My father had a farm behind his house. His house was number 20, Parry Road, UI. I mean, I know that house like the back of my hands. Because for many years, I trekked from the main gate in UI to Parry Road. It was a normal thing for me. I knew where to pick the almond fruits. I don't know if they're still in UI. It was a different environment from my environment at home. 1, it was serene. 2, I liked the green grass in the front porch of the house. I don't know if the grass is still green in UI, but that was the way it was. And I'm talking about 1986, 87, 88, 89, 90. Back in those days, before my uncle built his house in Bodija and then moved. So I would go there, and I would play with the kids, the professor's kids. My cousins and their friends, they would come and cycle. Till today, I don't know how to ride a bicycle because I didn't have a bicycle. So, but I'll play football with them, dribble them like a Mokola boy. They spoke a different kind of English than my own kind of. My own is I go beat you, I go woes you. But theirs is and then they walk like this. And some of them had their glasses on. I desired to wear glasses. I didn't know the meaning, but I just desired it. I mean, God sees my heart. I will stand behind my professor uncle and be looking through the corner of his glasses. I just wanted to see. My father didn't wear glasses, so. And then you go to the flat after playing football. We go and shower in the BQ. Then you now come to the main house, and then good food. They had this air freshener. It smelled like the yokai. You know Akube? You know Akube clothes? The way they smell. My cousin's home smelled like that. The same odor was the yokai kind of odor. Air freshener. I'm still looking for that air freshener. And then they had air conditioner. It will blow on us. Cool. ACK. In our house in Mokola, where you want to say, if you buy it, they will steal it that day. I guarantee you. We didn't even have a generator. What? It will go missing. People's goats, Friday night got missing. Chicken got missing. Boys used it to watch Indian movie. That's where it was coming from. But as I went to UI every week, as I went there every week, I met different kind of boys, a different group of people. The houses were different, British architecture, compared to my mud house here, plastered with cement, pit latrine. I saw water closet there, exposure. I began to think, okay, boy, what kind of future do you want for yourself? This or that? Man, I chose that. One of the problems of the children of Israel, they had been in Egypt for 430 years. Their minds had been conditioned to slavery. So when Moses came and said, God wants you out of here. You need to be in the place that God has for you. There is freedom. They didn't want to go. They were reluctant to go. Yeah, they wanted freedom, but they didn't want freedom. One of the problems of Egypt was that even when they left Egypt, Egypt was still in them. Egypt was still upstairs. Are you with me? No wonder any little inconvenience, they will complain. Moses, return us, oh, return us. We were eating our cucumber. We were eating our garlic, JJ. We know we're really hustling, but at least they allowed us to eat fish. Oh, what's this nonsense? Manna, what's manna? You brought manna from heaven. What nonsense? Oh, the garlic. The turmeric, the cucumber, the fish. Fish compared to freedom. Fish. They were delivered from Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. At every opportunity, they wanted to go back. Take us back, oh, take us. When they got to the Red Sea, oh, they gave Moses problems. Now he has brought us here to kill us. How do we cross the Red Sea now? Pharaoh and his army, they were coming, they were advancing. No, Red Sea. Moses, kill us. They locked him. Oh, kill us. We die here. Egypt was still in them. Just like when you stay too long in Nigeria and you go overseas for the first time. I promise you, the Nigerian in you will come out. Either you jump a queue somewhere, either you don't know how to stand properly on an escalator, or you stay in your room and you are charging your phone for too long. By default. Why are you charging like this? Because they can take light anytime. You are in America. Dominion starts from here. So number 3 point, why did Jesus teach? He taught because he needed to get the people from where they were to where they're supposed to be. What is the difference between someone who has a BSc and someone who has an SSc? Information has been passed across over at least a minimum of 4 years in Nigeria. If it's overseas, maybe 3 years. Some courses, 5 years. Some, like medicine and surgery, 6 years, plus an extra year for housemanship, right? What is the difference between me, a spiritual doctor, and Yeshua, a qualified medical doctor? Or Tokpe Komolafe, our girl here, who made the best result, right, in pediatrics. That girl said our confession worked for her. Especially the part that says, my mind is alert, my mind is calm, I have serenity of mind, I am able to focus. And the same thing is working for Maria now, another medical student here. What's the difference? I'm their pastor now. I should know what they know. After all, I can do all things. If they give them a patient and they give me a patient, nobody will actually give me a patient. Patients can only come to me and say, please pray. But if I bring out a stethoscope, in fact, I don't know where to put that thing, though. Is it on the chest or under the armpit? Only God knows. But you see, if you give me a stethoscope, it's a prop. It's for me to act drama or act a film. I'm telling you. If you see Dr. Fred in the movie, it's, oh yeah, I can sense that the pulmonary vein. Do I know what the pulmonary vein looks like? Give the same thing to a medical doctor. I mean, let's, for example, it's my birthday, and you really want to celebrate me. Expressioners, we love you, PFE! And you buy me a stethoscope. I will, being the person I am, I will turn it to a prayer. I'll say, Father, my daughter wants to be a medical doctor, so I'll keep this. I hope it doesn't get out of date by the time she gets to medical school. But I have nothing to do with it. I have not been trained. Spirituality does not negate training, skill acquisition. So listen to me, all of you that have refused to go to school or refuse to start a business, that have refused to improve yourself and get a skill, and you think by tapping your finger, you are going to be the next multimillionaire from Hamster Combat. Tapping on the phone in the church service. I learned one boy was in ICC. He was sleeping and he was still tapping. Even in his sleep, he's a member of our church. I won't mention his name, not to embarrass him. I wouldn't embarrass anybody. But tapping requires no skill. Zero skill. Just some are speaking in tongues. At home. Oh, he's low now. Listen to me. How much can that do for you? In all fairness, it can give you $200. Oh, man, I learned some boys. My younger brother said, and I was laughing at him. I'm using my brother as an example. He said he had bought an office in Dubai. I said, wow, we're tapping? $3 million per hour. Wow. He had bought a Lamborghini. I said, where is it now? It's all gone. They gave him $10. Oh, my God. When are we going to wake up? Children of God, you have the Holy Ghost. Get a skill. Get a training. There are two kinds of pains in life. Mike Murdock said, number one kind of pain is the pain of training. Number two kind of pain is the pain of regret. Those who reject number one will embrace number two. You're in school and you're not in school. Some of you are in school, but you don't go to classes and your parents are sending money. You're eating your tomorrow today. I sponsored a young man. He was in the technical school and I was paying. He was coming to church. I was paying through the nose for his tuition and sustenance. All of a sudden, his elder brother came and said, Pastor Fred, don't give this boy money anymore. I said, why? Why are you the enemy of your brother? The Bible says the enemies of a man are the members of his own household. He said, Pastor, wait, sir, before you kill me with scriptures. He said, this boy is gambling. He's always at Naira Bet's shop at Mokola Roundabout. Every time you give him money, he goes there. The last time you didn't give him money, he came home and stole my money. So it was the pain of his own money that made him come to church. And I called the boy. I said, is it true? He couldn't deny it. I said, you have eaten your tomorrow today. In fact, you've eaten it yesterday. We give you money to pay for tuition, your school fees. I said, if you get the degree, is it Fred that you're like, they're right there? Apparently, he would just dress up to go to school. He wouldn't even get to school. He had tabernacled with the gamblers. His case is a very terrible one I don't like to talk about. It was so bad, because of the compassion of God, I still wanted to help him. I said, I can't give you money anymore. So you have to provide school accounts for me to credit. It was so bad, it was smelling. He came to my office, it was smelling. I said, I won't give you money to buy bathing soap because you won't buy it. You will use the money to gamble. So I went to Mokola Roundabout. I bought soap, bought toothpaste, bought toothbrush, bought roll-on, and handed them to him like a baby. Today, he's still walking the streets asking for 2,000 naira. I said, come to the expression house. When he came, he said, I can't even see my mates anymore. I said, yeah, because they've all gone ahead. Some of them are married now. Some of them in the UK, Canada, US, all over. Those in Nigeria are doing well. So the people here don't even know you.
Once upon a time, a brother here. What kind of choices are you making? How are you thinking? When you sit down with gamblers, gambling will rub off on you. You'll be thinking like them. You'll be talking like them. What do they think? How do they think? They think that when you interact with mad people, a madman can give you numbers, lucky numbers. And true, yeah, sometimes it has worked because the madman is inhabited by a demon who is in the realm of the spirit. But he will fool you and fool you the same way he gives you a number that would make you make money. He will also give you a number that will make you lose all the money. Go and check all the lottery winners, all the gamblers around the world. Check on the internet. Some of them in America won $1 million, $1 million US dollars. But in 10 years, they were broker, if there's anything like that in English, than they used to be before they won the lottery. Because you know what? Nothing will change a man's life until his mindset changes. Money is not your problem. A change of mindset is the issue. Let's say you are a lady, you are 26, you are 27, you are 30. If you don't marry now, if you hit 30 and you're not married, it's over. Who said so? If you're a child of God, and so because of that, you want to start sleeping around? A lady told me, Pastor, if I don't get married this year, I will marry an allergy. I said, God is not threatened. You know, sometimes we think that we're threatening God. Marry an allergy, and whatever happens, so be it. One of them did it. She's calling now for prayers. How do you think? Even if I'm 32, even if I'm 35, even if I'm 40 as a child of God, I know that my God makes all things beautiful in his time. I know the wait may be painful, but I will wait faithfully. And I will trust him because he that shall come. Habakkuk chapter 2. He that shall come. He said, write the vision. Write it and make it plain on the tables from verse 2. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. So that he that reads it, come on. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run. That readeth it. Yes. For the vision is yet for an appointed what? Kai. But at the end he shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry. Wait for it. We don't like to wait because it will surely come and it will not tarry. And I pray for those who are waiting. Whatever you're waiting for, admission, promotion, financial breakthrough, a life partner, it will come. Yeah. Don't join the bandwagon to misbehave. Jesus needed to move them from where they were to where they were supposed to be. How can you move someone like PFE to becoming a medical doctor? I can still become a medical doctor in this life. Yes, if I choose to. What it will take me is to go back to school. Maybe I have to write SSC again because it's been over 20-something years. And write JAMB again and desire to be that thing and give it all it takes. And in another 7 years, you find MBBS in front of my name. There are people that are 60-year-old and they celebrate their first degree. They are in the same class as their last born. Go to UIDLC. You find them there. One of the most celebrated lawyers in this country, I just don't want to mention his name. I've done a couple of jobs with the family. The man went to school at over 40. And yet, he's one of the most celebrated lawyers. When Baba appears in court like this, just one appearance, $1 million. An SAN told me, he said, when Baba appears, because we're teasing him, we said, sir, what are you still doing in court with all that you've gathered? He said, oh. Then he mentioned the Baba's name. He said, if he appears like this, man is over 90, $1 million. Whether he wins the case or not, oh, appearance fee. Why will you not give the $1 million to me? I can talk. I will help you to argue. You know why they won't give me? Training. I don't have that training. If I get to the court of law now and they're saying subpoena, subpoena, they will subpoena the guy, plaintiff, bailiff, defendant. If not that I had a court case, I would not have known defendant and claimant. All manner of law jargons. And when I say jargon, I don't mean nonsense. I mean terminologies. Training in the field of medicine, they have their jargons.
Otorhinolaryngology. Do you know what that means? Do you know cerebrospinal meningitis, CSM? I know a little medicine. If you go to the field of botany, you know, biochemistry, zoology, physiology, they all have their terms. If you go to computer science, they have their terms. But what is the difference between the woman selling agbado in front of UI and the woman who is the head of department of maybe computer science inside the same UI? Training! See, prof now, beautiful. She doesn't have two heads. Same features as every regular woman. But what's the difference? Training! The sacrifices of burning the midnight candle. Reading at night. Going for lectures. Then graduating. And then continuing with higher studies. And then going for conferences and seminars. When others prefer to sit and watch Netflix. And be flexing away their future. And you want to arrive at a glorious future. Same as that of a professor. It doesn't work. It's like people who don't live in righteousness. They live in sin and say grace has covered it. And they want to arrive in heaven. They must manufacture their own heaven. Everything starts here. These are my closing thoughts. Jesus brought heaven down to us. He brought heaven down. Oh God, it's almost 12 o'clock. I can't believe this. I will have to stop because we've stayed for so long. I will continue these thoughts in my ablaze message. But let me just wrap it up with something here. Jesus brought heaven down. There is no fear, worry, anxiety, depression, sickness, and disease in heaven. There is no lack. There's no poverty in heaven. Are you with me, church? So Jesus brought heaven down. In Acts 10:38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing. How many that were oppressed of the devil? Shout it. How many? All that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In Isaiah 61:1-4, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus quoted that in Luke 4:16-22, when he went to the temple. And he said to them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. What was he trying to achieve? He was challenging their thinking. Like, I'm trying to challenge your thinking this morning. Some of you need to step up your game. Step up the way you're doing your business. When we come to church, the church is for the total man. It's not just for your spiritual life. It's also to help your academics. It's also to help you the way you do your business. To challenge your thinking. That you can be better than this. You have one shop and then you're walking around like a crab. God wants you to have 10. He wants you to be an employer of labor. But also, he wants you to deliver what you promise your clients. Don't just make money and run away. Then you'll be a scammer. It challenged their thinking. That was why Paul the Apostle challenged us in Romans 12:2. Go there, please. Put it on the screen. Romans 12:2, everybody. This is key to my message. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? Your life will be transformed. Transportation and formation. You will leave point A to point B as you renew your mind. Thank God for prayer. Prayer alone will not do it. Thank God for the word. You need to combine with prayer. Thank God for meditation. It is the process. Thank God for praying in the spirit. Part of it. Thank God for good company. Having people that will challenge you. It is part of the package. You renew your mind. You renew your mind. You renew your mind. When I was growing up in Mokola, we believed, we were told, and we saw that the only way we had a future was to go abroad. So we did everything to go abroad. Because we saw our big brothers in the neighborhood who used other people's papers to travel abroad. And the first thing they did, just get like 2 weeks visa. It doesn't matter. Even one day is enough. Enter Europe. And then they will take you to the nightclub, arrange one white girl, marry her, that's it, and you have papers. By December, you come home, you come and bubble, you come and show. you bring your Range Rover. And so we wanted that kind of result. I thank God for this church. It changed my thinking. I came to the Stone Church. I used to sit in that corner. And my friend would tell me, that girl just returned from England. She went on vacation. Eh? Returned. Returned. Say it again. Say, she just came back. She's a U.S. student. She just came back. Came back. We don't come back in Mokola. When we go, we are gone. It's when you make it. You not come back. Come back here. Why are you now stressing yourself? See that guy? His school's in America. He's home on holiday. I had a culture shock. But all of that was helping my thinking. And then I would hear the message, God has a plan for you. Nobody ever told me in my life that God had a plan for me. And then I came again, and I heard another word, and I had another word, and word was building up on word. And guess what was happening? As God's word was entering my spirit was transporting it to my mind, and my mind was destroying all the castles and pillars and strongholds and caterpillars and skyscrapers that were in my head that have been built over time from childhood. You know, if you had been indoctrinated from childhood, you can't go beyond the level. But now the word of God is coming as bazooka, kukuka. And it's still working till today. And I am not stopping. And I'm still dreaming big. And I'm still saying things. And I'm still trusting God. And I'm saying, God, yeah, you can do it. If you made it happen for someone in the Bible, you can make it happen right now. If God made it happen for Sarah to have a child after reaching menopause, what can he not do? Menopause is not God. Oh, pause. Where men pause, God begins. Are you getting what I'm saying? Be transformed, not by laying on of hands. No, thank God for that. That has its own place, but it's going to be by the renewing, intentional renewing of your mind. That's why you don't miss Bible study. I'll miss that lawyer girl that is going to Europe now because she was always at Bible study. Since I've been talking, some people have been in this church for 4 years. They have never mistakenly come to one Bible study. Mistakenly, let me just go and see what is happening. Renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. No matter the sermon you preach to me, there are certain things you will tell me that is the will of God for me. I will never believe. It is not the will of God for any Christian to die young. Listen, Abraham died at 175, Isaac at 180, Jacob at 147. Those are our fathers of faith. And according to Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed. No child of God should die young. Are you with me? Genesis 6:3, God said, my spirit will not always strive with man because his flesh and the number of his days shall be 120. It was Moses that said 70 and by reason of strength, 80. If that's your desire, that's fine. But God says 120 is available. But the choice is yours. But me, I've told God, I want to see what it feels like to cut my birthday cake at 100. Oh, praise God, amen. And I'm reading, and I'm a voracious reader. I'm reading. There's a book by Gloria Copeland on Live Long and Finish Strong. It's a compendium of people who live long, over 100. It's a way of thinking. For some people, they think anybody can die at any time. Don't talk like that, too. Because anybody can die, can fight at any time. Anything can happen to anybody. I work with two young men, one in Bodija, one in Mokola here, many years ago. They were my age mates. The two of them have died. They made that careless statement. And I corrected them. I said, no, don't tell me anything can happen to anybody. Are we just anybody as God's children? One of them said, no, my father is a professor in UI. He was a professor, but he had stroke. Now he's back in Edo State. Now I'm the one struggling for myself. How long can I live? I'm taking care of myself. I'm taking care of my girlfriend. I said, excuse me, sir. That girlfriend is your burden. That's your own problem. You chose to have a girlfriend. To take care of yourself as a student shouldn't be a problem. My father died early. I've had to take care of 4 siblings. I said, so just you and your girlfriend. That guy died a year after. He died in Mokola here. Because he refused to believe me. He said, no, anybody can die at any time. I have never read Genesis 1:3. Thus saith the Lord, anybody can die at any time. Exodus 2:2. Thus saith the Lord, anybody can die at any time. Psalm 119 verse 89. Thus saith the Lord, anything can happen to anybody. No, it's the devil that gave them that scripture. Another mindset. Heaven helps those who help themselves. Some people will even tell you, listen to me, the Bible says, heaven helps those who help themselves. And I always ask them, please, sir, where does the Bible say it? It's somewhere in the Bible. Don't ask me. I'm not a pastor. It's somewhere in the Bible. The Bible never said so. In fact, if the Bible said anything, it is that heaven helps those who cannot help themselves. Psalm 121 verse 1, David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Mindset. Sin is believing. I have to see it before I believe it. I see it, I believe it. It's a mindset. That was the mindset of Thomas, Didymus. In John 20 and verse 27, when Jesus came, he was not around. The disciples told him, we have seen the master. I said, lie, for where or they she na lie or to aqua, fear to fear aqua. Unless I see him, I see the nail print in his hand, I see the, and I put my finger, in his side. I have to touch him. I touch him. I see the hole sees me. I believe Jesus. I'll believe. 1 week after they were in the house, Jesus showed up. He didn't knock the door. He just entered with a supernatural body. Shalom. And they knew the greeting of the master. Every time Jesus shows up, shalom. He brought heaven down. And what he's saying to us today, expression house, what is planet? Shalom. Amen? When he greeted them, Thomas, here is my, can you see my palm? Put your finger. And he lifted his garment. See my side? Put it. So that you will be believing. You won't die of your unbelief. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, you have believed now because you have seen. He said, but there is one PFE somewhere in Nigeria. Jesus said this. Some children from the Potter's Planet and the Expression House. Jesus blessed us in advance. He said, blessed are they that do not see and yet believe. We have never seen Jesus with our physical eyes, yet we believe him. Do you believe him? Yes. Then you are blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Glory be to God. This will be a good place to wrap up this morning. Have you been blessed? Next time I'm teaching on this, I'll be teaching the power of your thoughts. Oh, I'm tempted to tell you quickly. Ooh. Let me tell you two. Forgive me. Number one, your thoughts can secure heaven's attention either for blessing or for judgment. Your thoughts, how powerful they are. They can secure. Without you speaking, your thoughts can secure heaven's attention, either for blessing or for judgment. I'll give you an example. 1 Kings 8:18. 1 Kings 8:18. Quickly, if you're writing, 1 Kings 8:18. In 1 Kings 8:18, you know what happened? Solomon wanted to build the temple. So, because David wanted to build, but God said no. So Solomon was now the one talking here. He said, and the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart, in your thought, to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. It was in the thought of David. David sat down and said, how can the expression be like this without air conditioners? Without a beautiful interior? And that's what I'm thinking. And that's why within the next 6 months, by the grace of God, I'm trusting God for 50 million to do a facelift of this house and to put air conditioners. Can I have an amen? Now, don't look at yourself. Don't look at your account. I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at your account. I'm looking at Jesus. And I know he's going to supply. Amen? Those were David's thoughts. How can I sit in a house made of cedar wood? Beautiful. Palatial home. The front porch alone was something else. He had a water fountain. And the ark of God would be under a canopy. And God said, because it was in your thoughts, you do well. Everybody thinking about God, they always do well. But there's another thought that brought judgment in the Bible. Luke chapter 12, write it down. From verse 16 to 20. Luke 12, 16 to 20. The ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And the man began to think, I'm going to pull down my barn. I'm going to build another one. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, take it easy. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself. Don't worry about anybody in this world. And God said, thou fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Who's going to have those things that you're piled up? Do you know that man never said anything with his mouth? The Bible says he thought within himself, saying, Luke 12, 16, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he said, and he thought, verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, your thoughts are speaking to God. Be careful the thoughts you are accommodating. Be careful, because they are speaking to God. He thought within himself, saying. Number two, how powerful are your thoughts? How powerful are your thoughts? And I close there, I promise you. How powerful are your thoughts? I've told you they can get heaven's attention for blessing or for judgment. Number two, they are so powerful, they can transmute from thought into actions. From thought to action. You know, we have been taught that usually it is from thought to words and then from words to action. I tell you, I saw from the word of God that thoughts can actually, are you with me? Thoughts can move from thoughts straight to action. We'll bypass words. Genesis 4, 1 to 10. We don't need to read it. I'll just tell you. You know the story of Cain and Abel? You know the story of Cain and Abel? Potter's Planet, are you still with me? I'm sorry. I know you don't stay this long in church, but forgive me. I love you. Amen. Do you know the story of Cain and Abel? They didn't exchange words. There was no fight. In fact, the day Cain killed his brother, he told his brother, let's go out into the field. Let's go and chill. And they went out. He was a field man. And they went out. The Bible never said, and there was an argument. And they began to fight. And he killed his brother. No! Abel was just minding his business. The thought was in the mind of Cain. And he went ahead and carried out his thoughts. He didn't say, I will kill you. He just went ahead and killed him. Your thoughts are so powerful, they can transmute from thought straight to action. Sometimes you can slap somebody without telling them, I will slap you. You know that is possible? You just look at them, you feel, this guy deserves a slap. They won't even know you want to slap them. Whoosh! And then you run away. Thought to action. As I close now. Protocol, come for this. Let's be on our feet. Pay attention to your thoughts. Have you been blessed? Have you been blessed? Pay attention to your thoughts. People have committed suicide out of thoughts. The thought just tells them, kill yourself. And they got sniper, mixed it without telling anybody, and they took it. I knew a young man that took shaving powder, mixed shaving powder, and drank it. And he died. Without telling anybody. No, he didn't even leave a suicide note. No, nothing. Thoughts! Don't be like the ungodly. Psalm 10 verse 4 says, God is not in their thoughts. Let God be in your thoughts this week. Everything you're going to do, God, what are you thinking about this? And how is God thinking about you? Are you loved? Are you loved? Are you convinced that you are loved? Yes, are you blessed? Yes, are you highly favored? Yes, are you forgiven? Yes, should you have low self-esteem? Should you have thoughts of depression? Depression? Very low. Depression? Is depression good? Is a little sickness good? How about a little disease, a little bit of cancer, a little diabetes, high blood pressure? Don't entertain them in your thoughts. For as a thinker, so is he. Dominion begins here. Whether you win or lose begins here. I want you to say a prayer this morning. Cry out and say, Lord, help my thinking. Lord, help my thinking. Lord, help my thought process, my thought patterns. Everybody talk to God. 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 We all have one area or the other we need to deal with our thoughts. Thoughts of fear. Troubling thoughts. The devil telling you you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die very soon. You're going to be the next to die in your family. That is not from God. Pull it down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Put it on the script, on the screen for me. 2 Corinthians 10:4. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Thank you, media. You have done very well today. God bless you. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Everybody take a moment, pray in the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth and pray. No time for silent prayer. I want to hear you. Open your mouth. Go ahead. Ganto pare katoza leko shabade gado bazakata mambra kande bandos tu bahade rabade kodiaba. I can't hear you praying, Potter's Planet. I can't hear you, Potter's Planet. Pray, pray, pray. Who is sitting down there? Who is sitting down there? Get up and pray, my friend. Parents are praying here. Everybody, pray. When the devil wants to destroy people, he takes over their mind. We are not going to lose any of our children. We are not going to lose any of our youth. No, not in this church, not in Potter's Planet, not in the Stone Church. Children, I want you to lift up your voices and pray. Open your mouth and pray. You can open your mouth. Open it and pray. When we are praying, we are not playing. Please, I love you and I want you to pray. Rakatolebashtaba, kedebo sua, rabastabahaya. Akadoborote kalebarabade shataya. Kabade kodeba, sosia, sasa sose, kadambalaba. Kadamba le korabadosi ala bahastaga agado boreketeleba sakata. Expression house, I can't even hear you praying at all. I can hear Potter's Planet. I can't hear Expression House praying. We all have issues to deal with. This is real business. No big boy, no big girl. Pray, pray. Big boys pray. Big girls pray. They call on Jesus. Shanda balasta kadaba, shanda balasta kadaba, shanda balasta kadaba, shamba de dodo brakata. Yes, yes. Press further. Push some more. Push some more. We're pulling down strong goals this morning. We're pulling down strong goals this morning. Azagada balala bahaya gada bahande. Los torobo zia da 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 da. Thirty more seconds. Push, push, push. Everybody, ushers, everybody praying. Instrumentalists, everybody praying. Lekotosia, Zakastakata, 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 Asakata Yadaba. We're destroying troubling thoughts. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Please, when it's time for prayer, it's serious business with me. Serious business. The force generated in the place of prayer, no force compares to it in the world. Prayer is the slender nerve that moves the muscles of omnipotence. You want to move the hand of God? It's by prayer. Some of you young people have troubling thoughts. I want to pray for you now. Troubling thoughts. Maybe your parents are not even aware. Troubling thoughts. Thoughts that trouble you. You're on your own, JJ. But when that thought comes, it just spoils your mood. It spoils your day. You can't even explain it. Sometimes you're just not happy and you don't know why. I've been there. There was a time in my life I was very angry, for no reason, just angry. That's demonic. My pastor then told me, I would have sent you to music school to go and learn to play the keyboard, but I will not send you because of this, your anger. And in the future, when you grow up, when you know that you don't know how to play keyboard, you will remember that it was because of this. And I remember to today. As a punishment. I like to play the keyboard. It's my best instrument, but I don't know how to play it. I can send myself now, but I'm telling you, I would have done it years ago for free on scholarship. It's not a good thing. Some of you come to church and you're angry. Praise worship. You don't sing. You don't dance. You don't pray. You're just angry. Angry with your parents. Angry with everybody. Sometimes it's not your fault. I want to help you this morning. Let's break that hold. It's a stronghold. Let's destroy it. Get out here. Let me pray. Come out here. Kana manasta dia dabahaya. Lorobo dia sakataya. Pakatosto lombrahande. Potter's Planet, Expression House. Doesn't matter where you're from. Just come out. These thoughts limit people in life. They don't let them get to their destiny. We will destroy it. We will kill it today. Today. Because you must fulfill God's plan for your life. Can I have an amen? God's plan for you is beautiful. God designed a glorious future for you. A glorious future. There are some of you still in the congregation and you don't want to come out. It's still that same strong goal that is worrying you. I'm telling you, don't go. You don't need to go. No, you don't need anybody. In the future, may you not regret it. Grace is available this morning. I didn't plan it. The Holy Ghost said it, and I'm going to obey. I won't lay hands on you. I can't possibly lay hands because of time on everybody. We're just going to pray. And I'm going to ask that our pastors, Mommy Adediro, Mommy Moreni KG, Pastor Adeinka, and everybody, just join me in prayer where you are. Kedabahastadiyadabahaya. Oh, the blood of Jesus. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation 12:11. And by the power in the blood of Jesus and by the power in the word of God, we're going to pull down those strongholds of troubling thoughts. Troubling thoughts. Sometimes it tells you you're going to die young. You're going to die very soon. Sometimes it just troubles you. And you can't explain it. It just troubles you. Sometimes it tells you you are nobody. You can't go far. You can't succeed. It tells you all manner of lies. Nobody likes you. Can you see? Nobody's your friend in church. People don't smile at you because your daddy doesn't have a car. Shanda Bahaya. Lekataria Bahaya. Please let us pray, church. The rest of us, let us pray in the Holy Ghost. And those of you in front, just receive. Be in a receptive mode. Just receive. Don't pray. Just receive. Just receive. As we pray in the Holy Ghost will do the work. Just receive. Some of them are limiting thoughts. Kanda bahasti yadaba. Can we please pray 3 minutes in the Holy Ghost? Church, lift up your voices loud, very loud, very loud to cover our brothers and sisters. Oh, Shanda Bahaya. Makatasta tatastata. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. They put a crown of thorns on his head to deal with the torments in our mind. Shabababarakadaba. Lift up your voices and pray in the Holy Ghost, please. Ekagadiyadaba. Those of you in front, just receive. Just receive. Believe that God is touching you already and just receive. Just receive. The rest of us, church, I can't hear you. I can't hear you from the back. I need to hear you, please. Lift up your voices and pray for them. Pray for our brothers and sisters. Lift them up before the Lord. Abrakatali abrahala zakataya. Holy Spirit, touch your people now. Holy Spirit, touch them. Touch them. Touch their minds. Touch their minds. Touch their hearts. Touch them, Holy Spirit. Yes, move.
Move. Move in your own special way, Holy Spirit. Move in your own special way. Move in their minds. Move. Do a surgery. Do a surgery in their minds. Do a surgery in their hearts. Holy Spirit, do that which only you can do. Do that which only you can do for my brothers. Do that which only you can do for my sisters. Do that which only you can do for these young people, oh God. You love them. You love them. Lord, you love them. You love them. Let them be able to receive your love this morning. Let them be able to receive your liquid love this morning. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, touch them, touch them. Let them know that they are greater than their circumstances, that they are greater than their challenges. Let them know that the greater one is on the inside of them. And they are greater than the one in the world because you are on the inside of them. Holy Spirit. Holy Bastia.
Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life whole again. Spirit, move over me. Hey, Spirit, move. Over me.
Simple song. Holy Spirit, move me now.
Holy Spirit, move me now.
Move me now.
Make my life whole again.
Spirit, move.
Spirit, move.
Over me.
Over me. Spirit, move over me.
Hallelujah. I trust him. Just close your eyes and just receive. You don't need to fall down. It's not always spectacular, but it's supernatural. Strongholds have been destroyed in your minds. Skyscrapers erected by the enemy are crumbling to their knees. Foundations have been dug up. And the foundation of Christ has been erected in your soul. For other foundation can no man lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. I pray for every mind that is troubled. Peace in the name of Jesus. Shalom in the name of Jesus. I wish I could lay hands, but time. So I pray. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. I uproot every root of bitterness. Some of you are bitter against your parents. You're so bitter. You're bitter. Bitter against the government. Bitter against your life. You're looking at your life and you're crying. Come on. Come on. You have a good life. You have a good life. So that sense of bitterness, I uproot it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. By the corporate anointing present in this place today, every tree that my father has not planted, the axe is laid to the root now and is being uprooted in the name of Jesus. Amen. Depression out. Amen. Every oppression of the enemy out. Amen. Sometimes you cry. You don't even know why you are crying. Out in the name of Jesus. Limiting thoughts. You can't be great. Nobody likes you. You disapprove of yourself. You are too small. You feel ever inadequate. You are not qualified to do good things. Come on. That falsehood, I command it to die in the name of Jesus. Amen. Out in the name of Jesus. Amen. You are going to be great. Amen. The Lord will make you great. Amen. The Lord will make a name for himself in your life. Hear me. The Lord will make a name for himself in your life. Amen. You will not just be blessed. You'll be a reference point for blessing. Amen. Those of you that are angry with your parents, today you are reconciled in the name of Jesus. Amen. Peace is restored to that family in the name of Jesus. Amen.
your parents, peace is restored between them in the name of Jesus. Listen, we may not know how this is going to happen. Falakemi, by the help of the Holy Spirit, quoted the scripture. 2 Kings, I think 3:17, you said. You will not see rain, you will not see wind, but the valley shall be filled with water. And the Holy Ghost said to me to say to you, you will see a miracle. Amen. You don't have to see signs of the miracle, but you will see a miracle. Amen. In each family represented here, there will be miracles. Some of you, you know that your parents are struggling financially. It's not been a palatable time for them the last 6 months. I pray for you right now. I pray for your parents right now. God will do what only He can do. Amen. There will be a turnaround in their finances. Amen. Your family will have more than enough. Amen. So that stupid thought that is always making you small is uprooted now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Your family will begin to give foodstuff to your neighbors. Amen. Clothing to your neighbors. You will be preaching Christ to your neighbors. As you are preaching Christ, you will be blessing them financially. They will follow you to your church. They will follow you to Christ. In the name of Jesus. Finally, I pray for everyone who has lost their peace. 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 Such that you are having insomnia at your young age. You are not able to sleep in the night. I curse insomnia from the root. I take authority in the name of Jesus. And I command that insomnia to dry up now in the name of Jesus. Amen. From tonight, you will sleep like a baby. Amen. You will fall asleep like a child. Amen. Because you are a child of God. Amen. You'll wake up in the morning as a giant. Amen. Insomnia is gone forever. Amen. Depression is gone forever. Amen. I speak the name of Jesus over every dark addiction. Addiction dry from the root in the name of Jesus. Amen. Addiction to pornography, addiction to drugs, addiction to alcohol, addiction to movies, whatever you are addicted to, I command them, dry up in the name of Jesus. Amen. From now on, you'll be thinking thoughts of Christ. Amen. You'll be thinking Christ. Amen. You'll be thinking victory. Amen. You'll be thinking prosperity. Amen. You'll be thinking success. Amen. You'll be thinking godliness. Amen. You'll be thinking righteousness. Amen. You'll be thinking holiness. You'll be thinking progress, and you are going to be big. The Lord will make you big. The Lord will make you great. It will make you great. You will have testimonies. Whatever you're going through will turn to you for a testimony. According to Luke 21, 13, in the name of Jesus, peace in your mind, serenity of mind, agitations, anxieties, panic attacks, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and all kinds of anxiety disorders, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, all of the evil that attack young people in their sleep and attack their personality, I command you all, don't just die. Get out in the name of Jesus! And they are replaced with the peace of God. Some of you are not able to focus in school. You are hyperactive. Your mind is not able to focus on what your lecturers are teaching. Now, I command serenity to your mind. And you will be able to focus. God has designed you to be an A student. You will be an A student. You will graduate with testimonies. You will graduate with distinctions. And the name of the Lord will be glorified in your life. When you go back to school, everybody can tell there's a difference in your life. Amen. When you go back home today, your parents can tell there's a difference. Because Jesus has encountered you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lift your hands and give Him thanks.